I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome to the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports on a Sunday morning.
Here's the pitch. A swing and a high fly ball.
This could be trouble. It's at the wall.
And it's a gunner!
He scores!
Now, Sports on a Sunday morning on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Continue to watch the weather outside as Brian Kelly was just talking about during the news, and it's interesting as we look outside the KMOX windows here downtown at basically, if you will, Olive and Tucker, you see the rain start to lighten up, and then it intensifies, and then it becomes lighter, and then it intensifies. But as Mike Matheny said, and as you can bet, just because of the way the schedule sets up, they'll play baseball. They may have to wait for a while, but they will get the game in today. Coming up this hour on Sports on a Sunday, Dan Reardon joins us later in the show to talk golf. We'll hear from John Mozeliak. John Kelly will join us, and we will also have a chance to visit with this guy, the former Cardinal pitcher. His name is Kyle McClellan, the St. Louis native, brought to you each and every week by Amron of Illinois. It's one of those frustrating weather patterns, isn't it?
It is. What a beautiful day for a game.
Yeah. You know, I said to Mike Matheny earlier, I said, it's a great weekend to be a Duck.
Oh, man. It is. I tell you what, it was good yesterday. It kind of forced everybody in their house, and a lot of people got to catch up on some TV shows and get some family time in. So not all bad, but 2 days in a row is kind of, I'm ready for some games today.
Inquiring minds want to know, what TV shows were you catching up on?
Megaduck. I was watching that one for a while, and I don't do the TV show thing, so I wasn't really like catching up. I was flipping around, there's some hockey on, flipping around some hunting shows, but I was on the couch majority of the daylight yesterday.
The one thing that this weather does is it allows the Cardinals to get back on track in terms of rotation. After stacking Martinez and Wainwright on Thursday, mm-hmm. You know, you've got a chance now to have Michael Wacha go on regular rest coming up on Monday.
Yeah, that's a good point, and that's something, these doubleheaders they're never fun from a player standpoint, just because you know going into it you're going to have a long day. I mean, those position players, especially the day-night split, I mean, you're gonna have a few hours off in between just to get nice and tired and start to get a little sore, and then all of a sudden you got to go back out there again. Pitching staff, you know, in the bullpen, you're going to be needed for a lot of innings. You know, your starters are going to be counted on quite a bit, and then it messes them up their next time around. So maybe they do catch a break in terms of being able to have their rotation back on track. But guys are creatures of habit. They like they don't mind playing every day. The two a day, it just throws a wrench in everything.
Team has won 9 of its last 11 games, now a game over the 500 mark for the first time since after that opening day victory. What have you seen over the course of the last 13 games or 11 games that you've liked?
Well, they've really corrected some of the issues that plagued them early. I will say they've had, their schedule hasn't been as tough as it will be or it was early in the season with teams like the Nationals and Chicago. But they've beaten the teams that they need to beat, and that's an important part. They've got some momentum going. The offense has really come around. The starting pitching seems to have settled down. Wainwright's really been good. Carlos Martinez's last start was good. The rest of the starting pitching has been outstanding. Lance Lynn, I love watching him pitch. I mean, he is a completely different pitcher now, coming back from Tommy John. The way he works both sides of the plate, the way he's mixing it up, throwing his breaking balls, not just challenging everybody with his fastball. He has reinvented himself and didn't really have to because he was successful before, and he's been a lot of fun to watch so far. The defense is still the one frustrating part of this team, and the bullpen still hasn't hit its stride just yet, but you can tell their signs are starting to work that out.
Well, and on the base pass, too, it hasn't been clean. They've run into 15 outs on the base pass.
Yeah, and that's frustrating. I think it's just the most frustrating. I feel like we talk about this every week, but they identified these are the areas we have to get better in, and they haven't. And they did. They stressed it in spring training. They ran the bases well in spring training. They played good defense in spring training, but it hasn't come over to the season yet. And, you know, hopefully that as this continues to play out, they'll be able to do that. Because when they start playing teams that are above 500 and good teams, playoff-type teams, it's not going to work. They're not going to be able to win games like that.
Thursday was a lot of fun, though, wasn't it? Particularly the afternoon game. Thursday was the doubleheader. I mean, particularly the afternoon game. I mean, because it looked like you were left for dead, right? I mean, it's in the ninth inning. You've got a guy on. You're down 4-2. And then Randall Grichuk hits the bomb to center field to give you life.
Yeah, it was just to see the fight in this team. And look, from a player standpoint, you come out, you don't play well early on. There is a lot of questions. You're having to answer all these things that you don't want to answer, and you're having to, and then all the talk about, you know, you're not a good team and this, that, and the other. And all of a sudden, you overcome that. And then you're down, and you're trying to get to that 500 point, and you're losing the game, and all of a sudden your team comes back. Those are big victories inside the locker room. Like, okay, we're not as bad as we were early season. All those things you're saying about us aren't true. We are as good as we said. We told you we would get it figured out, and we have. And when we're behind in games, we still have a chance. And the offense has been really good in helping do that. There's been a lot of exciting moments so far for this offense and a lot of different guys contributing. So those are very big, small victories for the inside of that locker room just to say, hey, we can do this. No matter what the situation is, we can come and come away with a win.
Hey, Kyle, evaluate what you've seen so far from Trevor Rosenthal. Obviously, velocity is back. He reached 102 the other day during the first game of the doubleheader, but still at times not efficient in terms of pitch count during the innings.
Yeah, and it still kind of goes back to every once in a while he'll throw one randomly, you know, not close and get behind on some guys. But when he's on and effective and his timing is there, nobody can touch him. I mean, this guy's throwing 102 the other day. I mean, it was crazy to see. So as you watch him, the stuff is clearly there. Now let's see how quickly we can get these outs, how quickly he can get guys behind in the count. If he's throwing 6-7 pitches per at bat, that's not when he's at his best. But when he's getting guys up there and it's like the next thing you know, you blink and he's already struck out two guys, that's when he's at his best. When he's 0-1, 0-2, and putting guys away, the longer he lets them stick around, because he doesn't have that wipeout, strikeout pitch other than his fastball. His fastball is what it is because he can elevate it and get guys to chase it, throw it wherever, and guys can't hit it. But sometimes he tries to get a little too fine with that. So if he can get 0-1, 0-2, and then they got no chance at that point trying to chase that fastball from zone, that's when he's by far at his best.
Kyle McClellan, thanks for your time today. As always, we appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Kyle McClellan brought to you by Ameren of Illinois. Installing LEDs will reduce your lighting costs up to 80%. Energy savings made easy. Ameren. Illinois. When we return on Sports on a Sunday, John Kelly joins us from Nashville. Blues coming up later today.
Now, back to the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports on a Sunday morning on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Still to come on this edition of Sports on a Sunday, John Mozeliak will join us in our next segment. We'll then wrap things up with Dan Reardon talking about golf. Tom Ackerman has our pregame coverage. Cardinals and the Reds hoping to get things in today. 12:20, our pregame show begins. 1:15 scheduled first pitch from Busch Stadium against the Reds. Mike Shannon and John Rooney. Round 2, Game 3 between the Blues and the Predators from Bridgestone Arena. KMOX will join the game in progress with Chris Kerber and Kelly Chase. Game will face off at about 2 o'clock, and you can hear it on Y98. Let's bring into the conversation the guy that does hockey on Fox Sports Midwest, the terrific John Kelly. Good morning, my man. How are you?
Hey, Mike. How are you today?
Well, I'm doing well. I hate the playoffs in this regard because I don't get a chance to listen to you and watch games with you doing them during the playoffs. And I know that's part of the TV contract. I know you're used to dealing with it. But it's got to be frustrating, too.
Well, you're so kind to say that. I mean, I don't know if it's frustrating, Mike. Those are the rules. You know them going in. And hey, I'd love to do every single game, preseason, regular season, playoffs. But those are the rules, and you just have to roll them.
We're going to call you back because we're having a little bit of a connection with your phone. So let us hang up and then call you right back as we'll visit with John Kelly. The Blues playing Game 3 coming up later today from Bridgestone Arena in Nashville. 2 p.m. is the faceoff. Again, it'll be on Y98. KMOX will join it in progress after Cardinal baseball. Predators took Game 1 in St. Louis 4-3, but the Blues bounce back. They win Game 2 on Friday night. Vladimir Tarasenko was terrific. He had a pair of goals as the Blues win by the score of 3-2 to even the series at a game apiece. So the schedule looks like this. Game 3 today. Game 4 will be Tuesday night, 8:30, the faceoff from Bridgestone Arena in Nashville. Game 5 back in St. Louis on Friday night, and that game will face off at 7 p.m. as it'll be on the NBC Sports Network televised. Of course, you'll hear it here on KMOX. And KSDK, by the way, has the game today, and we'll have it on Y98 FM as well. Coming up in our next segment, John Mozeliak will join us, the Cardinals general manager. We'll visit with him. Dan Reardon will join us coming up at 10:45 as we will talk about golf with Dan Reardon. Waiting to hear back from John Kelly, though, is had a little trouble with his phone line. Some of the other things going on after Cardinal baseball, as we told you, we joined the Blues in progress. It'll be the Wendy's Week in Hockey with Alex Ferrario and Amy Markscores coming up later tonight at 5. Strike Zone with Mike Claiborne at 7, Nothing Impossible at 8. With Michael Calhoun and Travis Sheridan. Then we'll replay Meet the Press coming up at 9 o'clock. Let's go back, though, to the phone line. Is on the Quiver River Electric Cooperative guest line. John Kelly joins us again from Nashville. I think this one will be a little bit better. Okay, what did the Blues do in Game 2 that you thought was better than what they did in Game 1?
You know, both games were pretty tight, Mike, quite honestly. And, you know, I think the Blues stuck with it, and you know, it was a pretty tough situation where the Blues had allowed only 9 shots on goal through 2 periods the other night, and it's a tie hockey game, and then they fall behind in the third. So they showed a lot of character in coming back and got the late goal from Tarasenko, and obviously he had the game of everybody the other night. He was fantastic. So you know, obviously I think the Blues ideally here now on the road, you want to play with the lead and get that first goal. And quite honestly, the Blues have not really played with the lead in the first 2 games of the series. So I think that would be imperative to try and play more of your game and not chase the game like they really did for large parts of the first 2 games.
Tarasenko was terrific, as you mentioned. It's fun to watch him when he's on. I mean, here's a guy that's paid a lot of money to do just what he did, and that's score goals on Friday night.
Yeah, you know, Mike, I thought from the opening faceoff he was great. He worked hard, and he had so many shot attempts in the first couple of periods, and then, of course, scored that game-winning goal. And there actually was a play in the last minute of the game, and he was on the ice, and he dives and breaks up a play that was intended for Johansson. He would have had a great chance. So, you know, in past years, perhaps he might not have been on the ice at that particular time of the hockey game, but he was fantastic at all 3 zones. And again, you know, getting the 2 goals and playing hard. And, you know, that's what you have to have, Mike. You know, at this time of year, you're facing great teams and great players. And your best players, generally speaking, have to outplay their best players on a nightly basis if you hope to win the series.
Any side effects for Colton Parayko?
No, I saw Colton this morning, and I'll tell you, he's like Gumby, Mike. And you know, when he went down the other night, I wasn't worried. I was confident he'd come back. There was a play last year in his rookie year, Mike, behind the net in Brooklyn against the Islanders, and his leg twisted in a rather grotesque way, and I was thinking he's done for the year. There's no way that he's coming back tonight. He's out for the year, and lo and behold, he came back about 3 minutes later, so I don't know about that kid, but he is like Gumby-like with his leg.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I had a different reaction as I watched it unfold. I thought he was done. I mean, it just, to me, it was obviously a dirty hit, a vicious hit, and I was surprised he returned when he did.
Yeah, but, you know, he's a strong kid and obviously flexible and young. I mean, it's great to be young again, right, Mike? You know, he's 23 years old or whatever, and he can absorb those kind of hits. Yeah, I didn't like the hit at all. I thought that Fiddler saw him on his sights, and I'm not saying that, you know, he tried to make contact knee on knee, but no question about it that he's the leg out a little bit, and any time you do that, it's a dangerous hit.
Helps having Paul Snasty back, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, Paul is he's such a creative player, and now the opposition has to worry about Paul and Schwartz, who's playing so well, and obviously Tarasenko. You know, Barbashev did a great job on that line for 3 or 4 games, but he's a rookie, and you know, that's a tall order to put a kid in there as your number one center, but getting Stasny back helps a lot on that line and also helps on faceoff. The Blues actually had more faceoff wins in Game 2 than they did in Game 1, so that's a big part of the game as well. We talk about getting the lead, but, you know, puck possession in today's game is so critical, and it starts with the faceoff.
To win this afternoon, what must the Blues do, John?
Well, I think obviously they have to continue to contain the Predators' top line of Arvidsson, Forsberg, and Johansson. They're so dynamic, and the Predators on home ice are going to get the favorable matchups today, so that could be a challenge. But I think they have to try to contain that line. They've done a really good job so far in the series, and hopefully get the lead and stay in the lead.
Thanks for your time. As always, I appreciate it. And again, I wish you were doing the games, but I get it.
All right, Mike. Thanks so much.
All right, take care. John Kelly with us from Fox Sports Midwest. I'm Mike Kelly. It is 28 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. We're going to take a break. John Mozeliak joins me next when Sports on a Sunday continues.
Welcome back to the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports on a Sunday morning on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Sports on a Sunday continues on News Radio 1120 KMOX. Coming up, Cardinals and the Cincinnati Reds will try to close things out at Busch Stadium, weather permitting. We get a chance each and every week to visit with the general manager of the Cardinals, John Mozeliak. Good morning. How are you today?
Doing well, Mike. Thank you.
Well, good to see the team playing better. 9 of the last 11 games have gone your way. That's a good thing.
Yeah, it is a good thing. And, you know, clearly there's some things we still want to work on from when you think about the touch points we wanted to address. But, you know, I do feel like from a staff standpoint, from a player standpoint, they get it, they know it. And hopefully we'll continue to see positive results.
Yeah, as you're referring to, still not clean, some errors defensively, and also just look at the number of times Cardinal runners have run into outs, 15 times this season on the base paths.
You know, there's always that word you hear us use from time to time when we talk about wanting to be more aggressive. And when you do so, you start to take those risks. And I think, you know, for us, we've got to maybe redefine the word aggressive and decide, you know, what our risk tolerance is for you know, trying to advance that. But, you know, clearly making an out's not simply worth the extra 90 feet from time to time.
Friday, Lance Lynn had his third consecutive quality start. From your perspective, have you seen enough to perhaps begin conversations about a contract?
Always an awkward question for me when someone asks, like, where we are and those types of things. I think really what everybody needs to do in the month of April and May is just take care of baseball. You know, I feel like when you go into the season, you don't want distractions, and that's not to say we aren't open for business or won't consider something, but I don't think at this point we really need to overly engage in these public kind of conversations, but if something should happen behind the scenes, that's a different story.
Yeah, let's look at a broad brush, though, and not talking specifically about Lance, although he fits this category. When you're looking at pitching in particular and securing a pitcher over a long-term basis, how beneficial is it from your viewpoint if a guy is a young player that's already had Tommy John surgery? Is that helpful moving forward?
You know, I don't think there's a one blanket answer there, because a lot of people, when you think about how they recover from surgery, where they're at, not all surgeries are created equal. I will say there's a level of optimism with him, given that he had a pretty simple recovery from his surgery, and overall feel that everything went well for him. And from a building block standpoint, I think he's in a really good spot. Whereas there are players that from time to time, you know, you're talking about them 18 months, 24 months removed from surgery and still not producing at a high level.
Trevor Rosenthal obviously has come back and is throwing the ball with a great deal of velocity, reaching 102 during the first game of the doubleheader on Thursday. At what point or what are the circumstances that will allow him to be used in back-to-back games?
Well, I think a couple things come to mind. One is his ability to be efficient. Clearly, when you're having 25 or 30 pitch innings, that's something that we want to avoid going back-to-back. And I think the other sort of part of this equation is how does he feel? Like when he goes out and has a, you know, efficient inning, how does he respond the next day? And I do think from a layman's standpoint, when you see someone hitting 102, you naturally feel they're strong. You naturally feel everything's working. And I think for him, maybe it's just getting that confidence and trust back. But, you know, clearly what we're seeing out of him is pretty electric.
Evaluate what you've seen from Kevin Seacrest so far.
Again, I feel like what I've said all along, he's got to adjust to maybe the new norm. And the new norm might be 89 to 92 and no longer throwing 96, 97. But, you know, I think he has the ability to pitch to that. And if he does, he should be successful.
Diaz is a guy that right now has struggled a little bit at the plate. John, what have you seen from him from a defensive standpoint?
A couple things. One, on the offensive side, I think taking a few pitches, maybe being a little more patient might help him
right.
with his approach at the plate. I think from a defensive standpoint, you know, we always went into this knowing that range was not going to be his strength. And so, you know, just I think from a coaching standpoint, we're really working on positioning. We're really working on that first step and see if we can't make a difference.
What's the timetable right now for Johnny Peralta? Obviously, it's been reported after the conversation with him, I guess it was during Friday's game or perhaps after yesterday's game or after the rainout, that he had a bad reaction to the medicine he was taking for upper respiratory infection. When do you think he'll have the opportunity to begin a rehab assignment?
Spoke with him briefly yesterday. He's certainly starting to get his strength back. He's feeling better. So my optimism for him would be sometime this week, get him cleared for baseball activity, and then at some point let him go out on a rehab.
Let's talk about some guys in the minor leagues. Who's captured your attention of late?
Good to see Sierra back. Lost him for a week through the concussion protocol. I think DeYoung's gotten off to a very good start offensively. And I think you got to mention the local boy, Mr. Voigt.
Right.
Really pounding the ball at Memphis. And, you know, it's sort of funny because we always look at each level of promotion as just see if they can do it. And in his case, clearly he has, and that's exciting.
Yeah, Luke Voigt from Missouri State, who really, you didn't see it during spring with the big club, did you?
Well, no. Unfortunately, we didn't feel like we'd get enough at-bats. I think that's always the difficult part running a major league camp is how do you get enough people work? And as many of you know that actually down for spring training, you see that minor leagues only get about 3 weeks. And so trying to get them ready and ramped up is something that's very relevant and something we got to move quickly on. But I will say when Voigt did play in a couple big league games, he was impressive.
Hey, John, thanks for your time. I always appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Mike. Next
right.
week, buddy.
All right, take care. That is John Mozeliak, the Cardinals general manager. We'll talk golf with Dan Reardon coming up next on News Radio 1120 KMOX.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.